dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Yay. And we say namaste.
Namaste.
Light within me greets the light within you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Right to turn to your neighbor and say namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Light within me greets the light within you. Namaste.
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 Namaste, Mark.
Okay. There was a preacher who was making his rounds to his parishioner on his bicycle, right? And when he came upon a little boy trying to sell a lawnmower, the preacher said, "I have been looking for a lawnmower. How much do you want for it?" The little boy replied, "I want just enough so I can go out and buy me a new bike." And so after a moment, the preacher says, well, will you take a trade? My bike for your lawnmower?" And the boy asked if he could try out his bike for a moment. And after riding that bike around, the boy said, "Hey, mister, you've got yourself a deal." Right? The preacher took the mower and began to try to crank it up. And he pulled on that cord a few times, and he got no response from that lawnmower. And the preacher called the little boy over and says, "I can't get this lawnmower started." And the little boy said, "That's because you got to cuss at it. You have to cuss at it to get it started." And the preacher replied, "I'm a minister. I can't cuss. It's been so long since I was saved. I can't even remember how to do it." And the little boy looked at the minister and smiled and said as he rode off, "Just keep pulling on that cord and it'll come back to you." Yeah. Uh-huh. Just one of the ways the mortal mind works. And we've got to say to those types of illusions, "Thank you, God. I am free of that, and I am free of that." Can we say that one more time? "Thank you, God. I am free, and I am free of that."
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. You know, after we first catch a glimpse of spirit, I'm sure everybody in here has caught a glimpse of spirit, we have to take some time apart. And we have to go into the wilderness and process what we have experienced. As we begin to awaken to the life force bubbling up within us, we have to adjust our focus and develop certain tools that are at our disposal to look beyond the illusions of the mortal mind so that we can begin to understand the ways of spirit, the way it's working all around us and moving in and through us, which gives us a framework for further spiritual growth. This is a metaphor for Jesus going into the wilderness and then being tempted by Satan, right? Who represents the adversarial mortal mind, right? And according to the book of Job, Satan is God's helper. Mm-hmm. To see if we're dedicated to ourselves to developing enough spiritual strength to complete what Spirit has actually called us to do. Right? You know, at his baptism at the river, Jesus was shown a grand glimpse of what lie before him on his spiritual path. You know, where that dove came flying down and started talking to him. What would happen to you if a dove came flying down at you and started talking? Well, he ran into the wilderness, right? And In order to dismiss that, you know, that vision, he would need to dismiss the promptings and the promises of what the adversarial mind was trying to show him. In this physical world, we face these promptings all the time. While we lose ourselves, will we lose ourselves in the glory, the fame, and the wealth that those visions offer us? And consequently be bound to the darkness? Or are we going to step beyond those illusions and be the way of love? We need to consciously recognize the promises that the dark side is offering us and release any attachments we might have to the illusions we might be seeing so that we can fully feel the life force flowing in and through us and all around us. Did you know that you are a mirror of God's life and love and wonder? Just as water in a clear stream or a pond reflects the designs of life about it, so you are a reflection of God's perfect life. That's at least what the Bible says. Anybody here believe in the Bible? Right? Genesis 1:27. God created you and all of humankind in its own image. In the image of God, God created you. You see, despite what others might say, you were born in original virtue, right? With unlimited potential and unlimited creativity. Have you ever seen or ever known an unimaginative child? No, some of you might have, huh? Never seen an unimaginative child? Gotta say, no, right? Right? Oh my gosh. Wonder, marvel, creativity are our birthright. Right? They're our birthright. And when your parents first looked into your eyes for the very first time, they saw that sacred spirit stirring and being mirrored through you. Even today, with each breath you take, that wonderful, marvelous, awesome sacred spirit travels through every part of your being. For you are reflection. You are the image, the face of God. I see it. That's why I often say namaste, right? The light in me greets the light in you. That's what that word means. When you look in the mirror, do you see God's reflection? Or do you see the illusions, the blemishes, the shortcomings, the hair done the wrong way? When you look in the mirror in the morning, do you see flesh and blood person staring back at you? A person created and stressed out by the illusions and challenges of this world with all of its high drama? What would the world be like if it didn't have high drama? Oh my gosh, I got boring. Right? What does that one commercial say? Boring. Let's all go to Bora Bora. Oh my gosh. You see, you are much more than the person that you see each morning in that mirror. You are spirit. You are the breath of God. You are the breath of life that you were created to be. Through the process of detachment, you can shift your attention away from the illusions of this physical world to the spiritual dimension of our reality. You see, the world about you is actually in you. It comes forth into your awareness as images, as thoughts, as sensations, as memories, as projections that you have been taught and conditioned to believe is your reality. But is it really the truth? Or are you seeing, as Paul said, seeing in the mirror darkly? Although in this moment we know only in part, there will come a point we shall come face to face with the infinite oneness. And we shall know the fullness of who we are, just as we have known by God in this moment now. So, what's in your cave? What? Yeah. What's in your cave? What's hiding in the shadows of your mind? Only what you take with you. The thing you fear, the thing you don't like about yourself, and the things others have told you aren't acceptable. All the while, Spirit is calling, prompting you. I can show you a world, a shining, shimmering paradise, a fantastic and amazing whole new reality. So dissolving the illusions of your mortal mind that you might be seeing from time to time is the first thing that you must do. Dissolve it. Release it. But how do you do that? Believe it or not, the first step in the spiritual journey of transformation can be found in a metaphor from a movie called The Empire Strikes Back. Anybody ever watch that movie? Right. Yoda is training Luke Skywalker for the journey that lies before him. He cautions Luke about the dangers and the illusions of the darkness. Luke asks, "How will I know the difference between the path of light and the path of darkness?" Yoda responds, "When you are calm, at peace, and passive, you will know. The dark side is easier, more seductive. It is a path of anger, of fear, of hatred, of expression. It is in the path of power and influence. Once you start down this path, it will dominate you. Your master, it will be." You see, sometimes there's a need for us to go deeper, to pause and listen more closely. Just as Luke Skywalker listened to his inner prompting and he went deeper. Sometimes something was trying to get his attention and it didn't feel good. Luke said, "Something is not right here. I feel cold, death." Yoda replied, "That place is strong with the dark side. And it seems evil, and so it is. But you must go there." Luke asked, "What is in there?" And Yoda responded, "Only what you take with you." Luke wanders past the creepy and crawly things and goes down into a hole, into what appears to be a living cave, and discovers who he believes is to be Darth Vader. hiding there. The two start fighting, and Luke finally wins, and he finds out that that face behind the mask was his own. He was fighting with himself. Often what we fear most is within us, and is the darkness we have projected out into the world. In order to overcome this darkness, we must first acknowledge it within our own mind. What is in the cave? What is in the shadows of your mind? Only what you take with you. But you must go there and do the work that waits for you. The book, Birthing a Greater Reality, offers a mindfulness practice as a way of overcoming the illusions of the darkness. We might be perceiving that we often might be perceiving in the world around us. As a thought comes up, just look at it. Right? As a thought comes up, just look at it. Watch it. Seek to understand where it has come from. This process is very freeing. Because as you watch your thoughts without attachment, without judgment, without resistance, you take back control of your mind and ease the ego back into its original role, which is to alert you to danger. That's it. Soon after you begin this mindful practice, the activity alerting us to danger will just slow down, because it'll stop looking for it, right? And just be aware of this moment now. As you watch a thought inspired by ego arise, it will just dissolve, unless there is a reason for concern. Wow. After we made the journey into the shadows a time or two, it gets easier. Recognizing how we have developed certain patterns within our life and have donned the mask that we wear, which empowers us to let them go. We can't release what we don't recognize and we don't want to talk about. We can't release it. And we're held in bondage by it until we awaken to what's in our shadows. As illustrated in Star Wars, we may come face to face with many challenges in our life, but if we focus on the force of light and goodness working in our midst, it's a whole different thing, isn't it? As opposed to looking at the illusion and what scares us, look at the light. Focus on the light, bubbling up, moving, stirring, glowing. Then we're empowered to overcome any of the challenges that come our way. But to do this, we must let go of hate, anger, and stop repressing our feelings. That's right. We have to let go of our judgments. But we like them so much, don't we? We have to let go of our judgments, our attachments, and our resistance. As his adventure unfolds, Luke Skywalker learned this secret. We all have ups and downs. But as we learn to pause and listen and follow their intuitive nudges, we are empowered to look beyond the outer appearances and see a very different way of life. For me, the most powerful part of the Star Wars trilogy, the original one, is when Luke is able to forgive his father, Darth Vader. Right? Can you imagine if you had a father like Darth Vader? Oh my gosh. He forgave his father, Darth Vader, for all that he had done. See, forgiveness is not saying that a certain behavior or action is acceptable. It's not saying that at all. Forgiveness releases our emotional tie, the anger, the hurt, the pain, and the charge that we are feeling and have associated with inappropriate behavior or action. For me, forgiveness is like removing the mask. It dissolves the veil of darkness that separates us from our oneness with God. Forgiveness is essential if we wish to live fully in this moment now and experiencing the shining, shimmering paradise that is our reality. When we choose the path of love and forgiveness, we are saved. That's right. We are saved from our sins. We're saved from our self-inflicted nonsense. Right? That's the real meaning of that word. Everybody knows that here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, John really knows it. Forgiveness is not for the other guy. Forgiveness is just for us so that we can release the hurt and the pain. One Sunday morning, an old biker entered into a church just as the service began. Although the old man's clothes were spotlessly clean, he wore jeans and a denim shirt and boots that were a bit worn and ragged. He carried a hat and a Bible that were equally worn. The church was the largest and most beautiful church that that old biker had ever seen. And everyone was dressed in his really expensive clothes. And as the biker took a seat, the others just moved away. Right. And so, no one welcomed him or even spoke to him. They were appalled at his appearance and they didn't even attempt to hide it. As the old biker was leaving, the preacher approached him and asked him for a favor. Before you come back again, have a talk with God and ask him what he thinks is appropriate worship attire. The old biker assured the preacher that he would. The next Sunday, the old biker showed up again wearing the exact same thing. And once again, he was completely shunned. After the service, the preacher approached the man and said, "I thought you were going to have a talk with God before you came back to our church." And the biker replied, "I did." And the preacher asked, "Well, then, if you spoke to God, what did he tell you was the proper attire for worshiping here?" And the biker smiled and said, "Well, sir, God told me that he didn't ever have a clue of what I should wear because he had never been to this church before." God doesn't check IDs to see where you live or who you are, nor does God care about what you wear. What really matters is what's in your heart, and that you learn to express the essence of who you are, which is love, beauty, harmony, and then you shall see it everywhere you go. As we begin to search to feel Spirit's promptings, we at first do our research alone in the outer world. And then we are empowered to turn inward, praying and reading books and going to a variety of different places. One day we start to see the realm of infinite possibilities which is all around us. Sometimes the road changes appearances to be filled with many scary illusions. Sometimes they feel really exciting. So we turn to the Infinite One and ask for help and guidance, pausing in the moment. When we finally decide to focus on the spiritual path, letting go of the mental strings and illusions that bind us to this physical reality, then our heart and our awareness opens up to love's presence. And we begin to see life very, very differently. It is as if we are seeing through new eyes. All of life takes on a very different, fresh, clear, crisp, and we feel renewed. We experience such a high on life that we want to go out and begin to shout about it. But that is when the real test begins. And challenges and new illusions appear as a result of the people, situations, and our old habits, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of being just come up again, just to test our commitment to our newfound path and developing faith. As Satan tasted Job and Jesus, right? But then you all know what I'm talking about, don't you? These challenges we wrestle with all the time. Like Jacob did in the book of Genesis, he wrestled with God all night long. And then when the light was about to appear, Jesus asked God to show him the way and to let go. And that person he was wrestling with took a finger and touched his hip and knocked it right out of socket. Right? The hip represents our stubbornness. Nobody here has stubbornness, do they? No. It knocked our stubbornness out of socket so that we can begin to feel the life force flowing through us. And yes, we have to let go of our ego. We must be true to the inner promptings. And yes, we have to let go of that ego because it's the main source of all the doubt in our world. The ego will look for outer signs and illusions all over the place for us to signal to let go of our spiritual path. It will prompt up and go, ha, 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 I told you so. Ever happened to you? That inner voice that laughs at you for making that decision you thought was great? But that's when we have to say, thank you, God. I am free, and I am free of that. Thank you, God. And let go. So you're going to have some practice now, okay? You got to say that with me again. Thank you, God. I am free, and I am free of that. Thank you, God. Now think of something that you might have thought about. When the ego throws something up in your mind, it comes up, and then you're going to look at it and say, thank you, God, I am free, and I am free of that. Thank you, God. Okay. You ready to go on a trip with me? The prayer chaplain.